This is Well Woman Radio, about women's health and wellness for everyone's well-being. How does being a woman determine your health and well-being? Does health and other policy adequately address systemic problems and root causes of ill health? Well Woman Radio looks at health from a woman-centered perspective, examining the biological, psychological, environmental, and social factors affecting the health and well-being of women and families. I'm your host, Giovanna Rossi. Today on the show, we'll explore the role of the community in supporting moms to breastfeed their babies. What is the response of the community, and what is the responsibility? My guests include horse racing jockey Kyla Straw, Diana West of La Leche League International, as well as poet Holly McNish. Holly McNish is a published UK poet and spoken word artist based between London and Cambridge. She's released two poetry albums and a collection of written poetry. She was also the 2009 UK Slam Poetry Champion. I'd like to warn our listeners that there may be some language that would be offensive. Let's listen.
I thought it was okay. I could understand the reasons. They said there might be a man or a nervous child seeing this small piece of flesh that they weren't quite expecting. So I whispered and tiptoed with nervous discretion. But after 6 months of her life sat sitting on lids, sipping on milk, nostrils sniffing on piss, trying not to bang her head on toilet roll dispensers, I wonder whether these public loo feeds offend her. Because I'm getting tired of discretion and being polite. As my baby's first sips are drowned drenched in sh**, I spent the first feeding months of her beautiful life feeling nervous and awkward and wanting everything right. Surrounded by family till I stepped out the house. It took me 8 weeks to get the confidence to go into town. Now the comments around me cut like a knife as I rush into toilet cubicles feeling nothing like nice. Because I'm giving her milk that's not in a bottle. Wishing the cocaine generation white powder would topple. I see pyramid sales pictures across our green globe and female breasts banned. Unless they're out just for show. And the more I go out, the more I can't stand it. I walk into town, feel I'm surrounded by bandits, because in this country of billboards, covered in tits, and family newsagent magazines full of it. WH Smith top shelves out for men, why don't you complain about them then? In this country of billboards, covered in tits, and family newsagent magazines full of it. WH Smith top shelves out for men, I'm getting embarrassed in case a small flash of flesh might offend. And I'm not trying to parade it. I don't want to make a show, but when I'm told I'd be better just staying at home, and when another friend I know is thrown off a bus, and another mother told to get out of a pub, even my grandma said maybe I was sexing it up. And I'm sure the milkmakers love all this fuss, all the cussing and worry and looks of disgust, as another mother turns from nipples to powder, ashamed or embarrassed by the comments around her, and as I hold her head up and pull my cardi across and she sips on that liquor made by everyone's god, I think for God's sake Jesus drank it. So did Siddhartha, Muhammad and Moses and both of their fathers, Ganesh and Shiva and Brigid and Buddha, and I'm sure they weren't doing it sniffing on piss as their mother sat embarrassed on cold toilet lids in a country of billboards covered in tits, in a country of low cut tops, cleavage and skin, in a country of cloth bags and recycling bins, and as I desperately try to take all of this in. I hold her head up. I can't get my head round. The anger towards us and not to the sound of lorries offloading formula milk into countries where water runs dripping in filth. In towns where breasts are oases of life, now dried up in two-for-one offers, enticed by labels and logos and gold standard rights, claiming breast milk is healthier, powdered and white. Packaged and branded and sold at a price so that nothing is free in this money-fueled life, which is fine if you need it or prefer to use bottles where water is clean and bacteria boiled. But in towns where they drown in pollution and sewage, bottled kids die and they know that they do it. In towns where pennies are savoured like sweets, we're now paying for one thing that's always been free. In towns empty of hospital beds, babies die, diarrhea-fueled that breast milk would end, so no more will I sit on these cold toilet lids, no matter how embarrassed I feel as she sips. Because in this country of billboards covered in tits, I think we should try to get used to this.
An apparent misunderstanding between a female jockey and the California stewards at Betfair Hollywood Park has evolved into a full-blown controversy that's gained the attention of the state horse racing board. Kayla Straw, 28-year-old jockey from Australia, who's been riding in the Southern California colony for the past 2 years, joins us now from L.A. on the phone. Welcome to the program, Kayla.
Hi, thank you very much.
And you just had a baby last year.
Yeah, he's now 8 months old in a few days.
Oh, wow. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
As you know, we wanted to talk to you because you've been in the news lately, not just for your horse riding, but you made the news because of an incident that happened there in your jockey room. Can you tell us about it? What happened?
Sure. Well, I came back to racing when my son was 2 months old, and I just kind of kept it real quiet. Instead of riding several horses in one day and being away from him for too long, I'd just go and ride one horse, maybe two horses, and then get straight back home to him. As we do on the circuit of racing, we kind of traveled from track to track. I live fairly close to Santa Anita, so I'd leave him at home with his dad, go ride, and I'd come back. And breastfeeding, you know, was pretty easy. I'd just feed him before and after I left. Or if he needed a bottle in between, he'd just have a little bit from a bottle. So that was easy. And then I went to Hollywood Park, which is about an hour away from me. I was spending a little bit more time away from him because, obviously, you know, riding horses and traveling. Occasionally, I'd get somebody to watch him at the track for me, and I'd feed him right before I went into my jock's quarters room, and I'd feed him when I'd finished before we went home. One particular day, I just had another female rider who wasn't riding on the day watching him while I was riding. And I just said, look, I don't think there's any change tables or anything anywhere in Hollywood Park race course. So it's clean and safe in here in my room. I'm the only rider in this room. So if you need to change him, bring him in and just change him in here. So she brought him in, and then one of the officials saw her and reported us for bringing a baby in the room. At this stage, I wasn't even aware that you could breastfeed in, you know, your workplace anyway. I got in trouble, and then the officials who are above the people that made this ruling against me that said I couldn't have the baby in the room, they came down on to them, and something escalated into this. I think because I'm a minority as a female jockey, you don't really think that the discussion had ever come up before anyway. So, you know, the way it was handled was not very nice, but it's been handled now, I guess. So future women riders, it's fine.
Right. You had to go through this in order for other women riders to now be able to breastfeed in the rooms, because I understand the chair of the board actually issued a directive allowing you now to go ahead and breastfeed and have your baby in there.
Correct. Yes. So it was really nice and thoughtful of him to consider not only me, but maybe the civil rights code law as well that's been enforced for every workplace in California. So lucky for them that he was onto it very quickly, and the stuff that I had to go through was not very pleasant, but at least it's been handled, and hopefully I can just move forward with this. And I'm not going to be breastfeeding for very much longer anyway, but at least it's said and done and over.
Well, Kayla, you know, so many women go through this kind of experience at their workplace. It just so happens you work, you know, with horses and in an environment that they hadn't experienced this before. But how did you feel when you had to go and report to the stewards and explain yourself and be told that you couldn't have your baby in there?
Well, even before this, one of the comments was made to my agent from the female steward. There's three stewards on the board who pretty much oversee everything and try and reinforce the ruling that they've made for the racetrack. But the female steward made a comment to my agent about, you know, she should decide whether she wants to be a mother or a jockey. Just for the fact that I wasn't there to ride one horse, and I told my agent about it. He took me off, but the trainer left my name down. So she was under the influence that, oh, I was too busy being a mother than a jockey, I guess. That's why the comment was made. But it was totally inappropriate. I mean, would she say that to any male rider? Like, if they didn't want to ride a horse and they went about it the right way, I mean, very inappropriate. So from that point on, I was kind of a little bit careful what I did, and I was I didn't feel safe just to even bring the baby to work. So I kind of tried to steer away from that in the first place, saying that they were kind of under fire about me being a female jockey with a baby. I felt like I was out of place, and I've always tried to blend in with the guys because, you know, I didn't want to feel like I was any less of a rider, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I brought the baby to work when I had to just because I'm choosing to breastfeed. And it's not only good for him, but it's also good for me and from what I hear from my weight. Mm-hmm. And I'm a jockey, so that's pretty important. But, you know, I felt like it's not his fault that any of this happened, but I kind of felt bad. I don't know, I guess discriminated against.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said earlier the chair of the board then issued a directive, and I'd like to just read a couple of his comments because they were pretty powerful. He said, Kayla Straw's baby can be in the jock's room, her nanny can be with the baby, and both the mother and the nanny can do all the things they need to do. We won't tolerate discrimination in any form against anyone for any reason. No special rooms, no one goes to the back of the damn bus, period. In order for a new mother to do her job, certain accommodations need to be made. We clearly don't have a nursery at any of our tracks, and I don't expect them to be constructed anytime soon. Not only can a jockey also be a mother, I'd like to encourage women to consider the possibility and the profession. It's the right thing to do, and it's also good business. What did you think when you heard his comments?
I felt extremely relieved. I mean, I felt like after those comments were made to me from the stewards, you know, about changing a baby's diaper and not having a, being allowed to have him in or around my room, about the mother comment, I felt like after I had experienced all that and felt terrible and upset from, like, this happened a couple months ago. So I felt so upset, I kind of just confirmed that I didn't do anything wrong,
mm-hmm.
That, you know, I wasn't being pushed into just having to work around all this, like, especially after reading the California Civil Rights Law. I didn't even realize that there was one. So I'd like to just, like, use this opportunity to make other women feel like they can work and still find 10 minutes of their couple-hour shifts or whatever just to feed their baby. It's easy, and it should be.
Right. Well, I think that is brave of you and probably appreciated by other women. And Kayla Straw, I want to thank you for being on the show today and sharing your story, an important story for breastfeeding and for the topic of our show today. Kayla Straw, a horse jockey in California.
Thank you so much, Yvonne.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to Well Woman Radio, a show about women's health and wellness for everyone's well-being. I'm your host, Giovanna Rossi, and today on the show, we're exploring the role of the community in supporting a mom to breastfeed. With me on the program is Diana West of La Leche League International. Diana is an international board-certified lactation consultant in private practice, author of several books, including La Leche League's Womanly Art of Breastfeeding. Diana joins us from the East Coast, and welcome to the program, Diana.
Hi, Giovanna. Very happy to be here.
Well, Diana, today, as you heard in the introduction, we are focusing on what the role is for the community in supporting breastfeeding. And so what is the community response and what is the community responsibility for supporting breastfeeding mothers? And on the show, we are hearing from a poet who has written a very moving poem about breastfeeding her baby in the bathroom. And we're also hearing from a horse racing jockey who recently was asked not to breastfeed in her jockey room, I guess. So we're hearing lots of different stories and perspectives. And I wanted to hear from you as a board-certified lactation consultant, what you think the role of the community is in supporting moms to breastfeed.
Well, first, let me say that I'm so pleased you're covering this topic. And I've been following this story about the jockey in the news and even the poem with big interest because the story is just exactly what so many women are experiencing, not only in the U.S., but throughout the world. Mothers are breastfeeding and being empowered to breastfeed and then running into obstacles when people don't understand or are actually dismissive or derisive of them. So first let me say breastfeeding is ultimately a community experience. This is not meant to be done in isolation. In eons past, women nursed in communities, in tribes, in villages together, and you know, we're pretty far away from that, most of us. But at the same time, we have small groups of communities, and breastfeeding almost always goes better when women hang out together and don't try to do it in a back room in isolation. If we're breastfeeding in a community, then we're doing our regular stuff. We're talking about things as they come up, and we're helping each other when there's problems. That's the way it's supposed to be. This isn't meant to be something that keeps women apart. In fact, it's supposed to bring them together, and ultimately, it really has a great way of doing that. So I'm so pleased you're talking about this topic. I do want to say, to your point about responsibility, that there are many infrastructures in our community that both hinder and help breastfeeding mothers. There's a lot that has happened in the last 50, 60 years that has given women resources. Groups like La Leche League, organizations like the International Lactation Consultants Association, which helps lactation consultants work more effectively in communities, hospitals that employ lactation consultants, and private practice lactation consultants. All of these organizations are very, very helpful to women and provide a scaffold, a safety net. But yet, ultimately, it's the women themselves that often are the ones who help each other, who empower each other, who give each other the reassurance to continue breastfeeding when things get tough, and to breastfeed and meet their baby's needs out in public when they need to. So I think it's a multifaceted type of experience, and we need all of these parts working together.
Okay, and when you say that historically women breastfed together and it was a community experience, we really are so far away from that right now, unless you specifically go to a support group to sit and breastfeed with other moms. But that has to be so organized, and it may not be when your baby wants to eat and your baby might be napping and, you know, you may not be able to get there. Can you speak to that? So how did we get so far away from...
Well, that's a whole different thing. How did we get so far? That's just the evolution of our society, unfortunately. But I think that beauty of breastfeeding is it doesn't have to be an organized activity. Women do hang out together, twos and threes and groups, and just with small babies and they're nursing, so they just nurse. There's people who go to Starbucks. There's groups called baby cafes who are informal groups in coffee houses where people can drop in during a certain period of time. And, hey, if the baby nurses, they do. But really it's just that women know their nursing mothers and they hang out together and maybe answer questions or kind of complain a little bit about things that are going on to people who aren't going to tell them to just wean, which is helpful. And it really is more organic, I think, than a lot of people realize. So, yes, there's definitely organizations like La Leche League that have meetings, but it doesn't have to stop at that. There's a lot of moms meeting through La Leche League and other places in person just hanging out. There's also a lot of online resources. There are forums. There are great groups online. There's a lot of Facebook groups for breastfeeding where women are connecting at every hour of the day, just touching base, talking to each other, sharing experiences, answering questions. And that, in many ways, is just as important as the in-person experiences that women have.
Okay. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking today with Diana West of La Leche League International about breastfeeding. And Diana, before we go on, where can people get more information? I want to mention some resources throughout our conversation so that people can be linked in right away.
Great.
What is your website?
La Leche League International, LLLI.org, is a great place to start. Very helpful breastfeeding information and information that will lead them also to local groups and local places where they can meet other moms, as well as the online forums, which are an any time of day type of resource for moms to reach out to each other.
Okay, and you're getting ready to celebrate World Breastfeeding Week, which is coming in August. And so there will be lots of different events in communities for that as well.
Yes, absolutely. Many La Leche League groups are having their own walks where they're just getting together in a park or a community center and celebrating the week. There's also a lot being sponsored by the International Lactation Consultants Association. They have made many marketing and publicity type giveaways to hand out at hospitals and other public health agencies, WIC offices. And WIC is another organization that is doing quite a bit to celebrate as well.
That's Women, Infant, and Children Program?
Exactly, through the government, yes.
Okay, and I know that World Breastfeeding Week is being celebrated all over the world and in the U.S., and there is something that is interesting in terms of how it's being presented, and they talk about the circles of support for mothers and children in terms of breastfeeding. And I thought that was really interesting and relevant for our conversation today, because we're talking about community support and what is, you know, who is the community and what are we talking about? And so that does include all of those circles of support. Can you speak to that?
That's absolutely what I was getting at a little bit earlier. I was talking about the levels of infrastructure. So we have moms themselves. So a woman's friends, her family, people she knows might be her most innermost circle. And out from there are perhaps her healthcare providers, people that she works with that might give her answers on basic breastfeeding issues. And out from there, or possibly even in between there, depending on what she's dealing with, are the specific lactation people. So you might have an international board certified lactation consultant. You might have a breastfeeding peer counselor. You have people who are trained and experienced in helping breastfeeding mothers. And then beyond the healthcare providers, you have the public health agencies. These are organizations who have a very specific directive and objective to help breastfeeding mothers. Many governments throughout the world are very, very specifically working toward helping breastfeeding mothers these days. There's legal action so that women have the protected legal rights to breastfeed in public and breastfeed when their babies need to for medical reasons. There are a lot of less organized groups as well. There's many organizations for breastfeeding throughout the world, self-organized by mothers, sometimes with specific topics like multiples or breastfeeding after reduction or things along these lines, or sometimes breastfeeding when there's problems. All of these work work hand in hand to help mothers breastfeed and hopefully reach their goals. And of course, having said that, sometimes moms do fall through the cracks. But knowing that that support is out there hopefully gives her resources to reach out towards when she has problems.
Okay. And our conversation is sort of assuming that listeners agree that or know that breastfeeding is important for the health of the baby. But I feel like sometimes we skim over that. And actually, I would like you to give some of the research and the information about why is this such a big deal?
Oh, what a great question. And that's just such a rich question that I hardly know where to begin. Breastfeeding is the normal way to feed a baby. It's not better, because that assumes that formula is the norm. Formula is not the norm. Breastfeeding is the norm. This is really what our bodies are designed to do. And when it works and goes well, it can be pretty great. It can really give a baby optimal health and nutrition. A baby's immune system is much, much stronger when a baby is breastfed. And a woman also has a lot of optimized health, I don't want to use the word benefits, but health outcomes, in the sense that she has a less chance of having cancer and other problems than she would have if she had not breastfed. Babies also are so, so much healthier. Babies typically do not have colds and flus as much as babies who are formula-fed. They typically have fewer ear infections. They're at less risk of diabetes and obesity. Many, many of these health outcomes are well-known now by the science. But I think the thing that's so clearly obvious when you look at a breastfed baby is how silky the smooth the skin is. A breastfed baby just has this amazing, silky, smooth skin. And it kind of tells you right there in looking at that skin how healthy that baby is. And that's really not controversial. This is not something that is debatable. The science has come down 100% clear on the fact that human milk is optimal for human nutrition. But there are circumstances, and I'm familiar with them as a lactation consultant, when mothers don't have enough milk. And in those circumstances, formula may be needed, which is not to say it's an awful thing. Really, the focus needs to be on every bit of milk that a baby can't get is fantastic. So we really look at it in a glass is half full, the breast is half full type of perspective, and just celebrate what a mother can do. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. It really is all about enjoying her breastfeeding experience and helping her baby get as much milk as possible.
Okay, and I know that there are some challenges, and you just sort of touched on that. In terms of, you know, physically, it may be challenging. And there are also other challenges like lack of support from family or needing to go back to work and not getting along with your pump. Or, you know, there are various things that go on in women's lives. And in preparing for this show, I heard a lot of those stories. What do you, as a lactation consultant, say to those women? What advice do you have?
I think that the first thing is to be connected with other breastfeeding mothers. It brings us right back to our circles of support. When you're by yourself in your room nursing your baby and things aren't going well, your mind is spinning. You're trying to come up with answers and you're trying to figure things out. You might look in a book. You might look on a website. And some of those things might give you some answers, but there is nothing like being connected with another mom who can just tell you what she knows and give you a little bit of help, maybe even hold your baby every now and then to help you get through it. So that's a certain level of support. But when that's not doing it, when you can't find any other answers, there are good people out there who know a lot about breastfeeding. They're really, really expert. There's also people who say they do and don't. Sometimes you have to kind of try out a few people until you find the right person to help you. But in most communities, there's really effective helpers. And that's the key that I think is so important for moms to understand is everything's not on the internet. It's kind of surprising sometimes moms think that if it exists, it's got to be online. And surely they can find it. They don't have to go find an expert. But every day I hear moms say, my gosh, I could never find that online. I'm so glad I talked to you. So it really is important when things don't go well to reach out to that helper, to that expert. Maybe it's a Lecture League leader who's a volunteer leader who can give good information, or maybe it's going to the step of a board-certified lactation consultant.
Okay.
Finding the person to help you is important.
Yeah. And what would you say to anybody else, like someone who is not breastfeeding? In other words, other people who could be supportive of a breastfeeding mom. I think if we're going to change the norm, we need other people doing things and thinking about this, not just the mom trying to figure it out.
Yes, absolutely. A lot of times I get calls from grandmothers or aunts who, or sometimes even husbands, who want to help the mom, and so they want to know what to tell her or to set up an appointment for a consultation. And that's fantastic because they're really trying to reach out and bring in resources for her. Sometimes a mother just doesn't have the ability to find the phone numbers of the people that she needs, and that's where people around her can help. But often it's just as simple as the people around her saying, I'm here for you. I get what you're trying to do. I understand why it's important to you, and I understand why it's important to the baby. How can I help?
All right, great. Well, I've been speaking today with Diana West of La Leche League International, and we're coming up on World Breastfeeding Week, August 1st through the 7th. So thank you so much for being on the program, Diana.
Sure.
That's all we have time for today. I'd like to thank my guests, Holly McNish, Kayla Straw, and Diana West. For more information and links, go to collectiveactionstrategies.com. Join me every second Friday of the month and mark your calendar for August 9th to tune in to Well Woman Radio. Well Woman Radio is produced at the studios at KUNM in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Our engineer today was Roman Garcia. Theme music composed and performed by Paul Presley. You can find a podcast of the show at prx.org. I'm Giovanna Rossi for Well Woman Radio.